you know what the estimate is of how many people are alive today on this planet? It's over 7 billion people. In the United States, there's thought to be that there's 318 million people just in the United States. When we came to Murfreesboro in 2000, when Gwen and I and our youngest daughter Jana moved here, there was only 75,000 people in this town. Do you know how many there are now? It's well over 100, isn't it? 100,000 people. In fact, since we've been here, and it's not due to our presence, but MTSU now became the largest student body of the university system in Tennessee, which really bothers Knoxville. But think about it. Do you know how many people work in your business? You know, do you know how many people live on your street? Just your street alone. Do you know how many relatives you have? Now, because I grew up mobile, and we were talking about that before worship, my dad was born in South Dakota, and I've never lived there. So I have no idea the kind of relatives I have in South Dakota. That's to their benefit because they don't know about me. They didn't have to put up with me. Today's lesson is when we think about stewardship, we often think about money, time, our specific talents, okay, our skill set and how we can use those for the Lord, but we hardly ever think about one another. There's a Bible verse that says, love your neighbor as yourself. And the question is, what does that have to do with stewardship? What does that have to do with being a manager of God's good gifts? You know, if you're with family, if you're with your spouse, if you're just near somebody, turn to them and say, you are God's gift to me. Just go ahead and do that. You are God's gift to me. Now, for those couples that had a rough morning, that was a little hard, wasn't it? And for those parents that had to look at their kids and it did not go well this morning, that might have been a little hard. I imagine there were days that my parents might have had trouble saying that to me. And I imagine there are times that Gwen has that trouble saying that to me. But even in the face of that, listen to some Bible verses about what God blesses us with, okay? He tells us that you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. He tells us that love your neighbor as yourself. He tells us, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. He tells us in his word, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. And again, he tells us, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are the household of faith. And again, he tells us, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, restore him in a spirit of gentleness. And the question is, what does all of this have to do with stewardship? It's because you are God's gift, individually and collectively. And God wants us to find ways to bring those gifts before him so that God may be glorified. Notice I didn't say use those gifts, because in our culture today, that's not a nice thought, is it? We don't like the users. We don't like the manipulators. and rightfully so. But yet, God calls us to be part of the family of Christ, members of His invisible church by faith, and members of the visible church by our presence, by our proclamation of faith, by our membership. So you have the invisible, which is all believers, the saints in heaven, and the believers on earth. And you have the visible, which is those who proclaim Jesus as Lord with their heart and with their voice and with their life. And He calls us to come together to glorify His name. The question is, how easy is that? How easy is it to look at the people who are part of the congregation, who are in your neighborhood, who are at your school, or at your workplace, even if your workplace is done via internet, you still have some sort of relationship, and even within your house. How easy is it to serve the Lord? Do you ever feel like giving up? Do you ever feel like having nothing to do with them? Do you ever feel like walking away? Do you ever feel like passing judgment? Do you ever have vicious thoughts when your neighbors cut you off on Memorial? You see, it's not so easy, is it? To love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, as a species, as a human race, we're pretty good at finding reasons not to love somebody. We don't like their politics. We don't like their religion. We don't like their fashion statement. We don't like, and we have this list. People tend to do that. They make lists. We don't like the way they laugh. We don't like their loud voice. We don't like, and on it goes. But when God calls us to be holy and to love our neighbors ourselves because He has loved us, what does that mean? And here's the list. Do not take from them what doesn't belong to you. Do not deceive them for personal gain or for the gain of others. Do not lie to them. Do not take false oaths. That is swearing in God's name to something that you want them to believe, but you already know it's not true. Do not make God's name as common as dirt in their presence. Do not change God's name to make it less than what it is. Why? Because the Lord your God is holy. Do not oppress your neighbor or rob him. If you are the manager or the owner of a business, you are to pay workers a proper wage and you are to pay them on time. Do not spurn people because they're different than you. That means the deaf, the blind, and those who just don't measure up to your standards. And do not cause them to stumble. Why? Because the Lord your God is holy. Do not take other people to court just to get the advantage over them. And do not respect the rich and the famous over the poor and the unknown. And do not tell tales about your neighbors, that is gossip and slander, and disrespect their life in any way. And the question is why? Because the Lord your God is holy. And do not hate and hold grudges. And instead, God calls us to reconcile with one another and to try and treat every other person as you would want to be treated. And again, the question is, why should we be different than the ways of the world? And the answer, because the Lord your God is holy. God has called us to be His people, and He equips us with a new heart and a different kind of thinking. Instead of how to win friends or make friends and influence people, we look for ways to serve one another. You know the story about the man who was beaten up and left on the roadside, right? And then there were these two other people that walked by, and the Bible says they walked by on the other side. And there was a Samaritan who came. And the Samaritan does all he can with the resources that he had. And that's all that God had asked. And the Samaritan loaded him up and took him to an inn. And that Samaritan even paid the inn so that the man could stay there and recuperate. You see, God calls us to have compassion, to have love, to show mercy, as He has had compassion and shown mercy to us. So often, even within the context of what we call the Christian church, we think it's enough to show up and sit in the pew. Make sure pastor sees me so he knows I was here. You know, do a checkoff list. We arrive, and I'm not trying to just pick on Lutherans, but we arrive just in time for the first hymn, and we're ready to go at the benediction, but we'll wait till the last verse of the last hymn. We arrive and we leave and we don't fellowship and we don't visit and we don't encourage and we don't listen to one another, but yet we feel we have done our duty according to the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But God says, I, the Lord your God, am holy and you are to be holy. So tell me how coming just in time and leaving just as reflects how holy the Lord our God is. How does it reflect loving our neighbor as ourself? It's a challenge when we are busy. It's a challenge when we have things to do. It's a challenge when our life is hectic. It's a challenge when we're disorganized and we find ourselves fumbling our way through the day. And yet God calls us. God calls us to connect. Connect because of Him. And He set the standard of that connection when He gave His Son. For when Christ came and was born of Mary, He connected to humanity in such a visible, tangible way. God could have from the heavens said, well, I don't like all this sinful nature stuff. I think I'll just say, sin, be gone. You know, and new creation, be there. And it would have been easy, right? God had that kind of power. But according to Himself, He said, the wages of sin is death. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And He set the standard. And He gave the solution in Jesus Christ. For by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are cleansed of all your sin. You are cleansed of your selfishness, your egos, your thin skin, your pride, and everything else that takes us out of relationships with one another, that breaks relationships, that hinders relationships. He calls us to be one in Christ. He has reconciled us to Himself, and therefore in Jesus, that's right, not by your power, but in Jesus, He has reconciled us to one another. Yes, I know human traits. I have some too. And they can be irritating to one another. And yet, has God turned away from us? From you? From me? And yet He has promised, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And it is that same kind of love that He's placed in our heart, so that we might glorify Him. And at the communion rail, when we gather together to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we not only proclaim the oneness of what we believe, the faith that we proclaim, but we also proclaim that God's love is for me and it is for those who commune on that Sunday. God's love is for us. We don't make it wishy-washy. We have a clear statement of faith according to the Scriptures. And therefore, we do not break the unity of that relationship that we have in Christ. And it's a touchy subject, not only in our congregation, but in our community and in our world. And yet, we continue to struggle and work at it in showing the love of God to people who are different, to people who are not like ourselves, to people who are next door or in the pew or wherever they are. To love your neighbor as yourself is honoring God's gifts of people around you. Think about it. God created Adam and Eve, and he said that it is not good that man, and in the sense, a person, is alone. We need one another, don't we? There are times I may not like the way someone tries to help, but we still need one another. And in that context, I need to recognize they need me. God has brought us together for his purpose. All of you are to be valued. All of us together are to glorify him. That's the mission, that we might strengthen one another in the faith, lift up one another in prayer, encourage one another by example, admonish one another with words of wisdom and encouragement. This is what the family of God gets to do. And we do it in a world where there are people who do not believe in God, and yet we show them love. Because how are they going to know about Jesus unless you show them the Jesus in you? God has called us to love our neighbors ourselves. He has loved us, so we know what that means. Amen.